It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Jason Fitz is off again today. I'm Jeff Dickerson sitting in. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We'll devote almost the entire show to the explosive allegations made against Washington's NFL team by the Washington Post in a report yesterday. So much on that story coming up in just a moment. But right now it's time for headlines here on ESPN Radio. And again, 15 women who previously worked for Washington's NFL organization have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by former scouts and members of owner Daniel Snyder's inner circle, the Washington Post reported on Thursday. Alex Rodriguez, among the bidders for a possible purchase of the New York Mets, called for baseball players to accept the type of revenue-sharing system that is tied to a salary cap and sparked quick opposition from the union. However, Rodriguez later stressed he never said, quote, salary cap. And Milwaukee Bucks guard Eric Bledsoe tested positive for the coronavirus and is yet to make the trip to Orlando to join the team for the NBA restart, he told ESPN on Thursday. Headlines brought to you by Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless runs the same networks for up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with up to 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. No contract. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I'm Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz here on this Friday. And, of course, our big story that's been reverberating across the sports landscape has to do with the Washington Post report from yesterday, where 15 women who previously worked for the team have alleged sexual harassment and verbal abuse by scouts and members of Daniel Snyder's inner circle. Now, Daniel Snyder was not accused directly of any wrongdoing, nor was Bruce Allen, his former GM. Snyder was asked multiple times by the Post to comment about this story, and every time he refused. He did release a statement saying, quote, the behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. The story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Ron Rivera earlier this year. Of course, this was the story that dominated First Take this morning on ESPN. Dominique Foxworth and Damian Woody were our hosts, and both of them gave their reaction to everything that has thus far unfolded in Washington.
They do need to get it right, but we have no reason to believe that they will get it right. They have a kind of a long history in that franchise. Some of it is rumor, and some of it are things that actually have been reported and seem to be fact. And you can go all the way back to the story that was written in 2018 about the 2013 trip that the cheerleaders took to Costa Rica, where they had the cheerleaders taking part in topless photo shoots, and they allowed people who paid for suites to walk around and view the cheerleaders during that process. Some of the cheerleaders reported that they stood up to create barricades so that the suite holders couldn't see their teammates out there without their clothes on. And then at the end of that process, they also allowed the suite holders to select from the group of cheerleaders the ones that they wanted to escort them to a party. And they did all this after taking the passports away from their cheerleaders. That was in 2013. It was reported in 2018. And then you can just go back to last year where there was 40 employees. They left because they cited issues with the culture that they had there. We can go back to the mismanagement of Trent Williams' injury, which I know doesn't fit into this theme, but it is also a serious evidence of mismanagement. And then we have this come out. We have this come out yesterday, which is also incredibly embarrassing and disappointing. So I agree with Adam that punishment, taking draft picks or fining them, to me feels empty and irrelevant. But the question I have for him and for anybody else, frankly, is there conversation about Dan Snyder's future and who is actually going to fix this? Because Dan Snyder has demonstrated that he is incapable of fixing this problem and he may be part of the problem. And Ron Rivera is a football coach. Stop it. If you think that Ron Rivera is going to fix this, he's a football coach. We shouldn't ask him to fix this. It's not his responsibility. He has no ability to do so. We have no reason to believe that he's capable of doing so. So I hope Dan Snyder speaks at some point, and I'm interested to hear what D. Wood has to say about it.
Well, listen, I think, first of all, from a macro level, this is something that women generally in sports have had to deal with for quite some time. And we're not just talking about the National Football League, but sports in general. So I applaud all the women that came forward in the Washington Post article to really tell their story about what's been going on with the Washington franchise for quite some time. We've heard the stories, and Dominic, you referenced them talking about the cheerleader incident, in Costa Rica, I believe, the abhorrent behavior down there. And then obviously the story that just dropped yesterday from the Washington Post in a toxic environment with the Washington Redskins. And, you know, when you think about it, anytime you talk about a toxic environment, a workplace culture that is just this horrible, it's usually because of toxic management. And that's really been the theme for the Washington franchise for quite some time, for years. Not only have they been putting bad product on the field, but behind the scenes, behind the walls of the franchise, it's just been terrible behavior that's been going on at all levels, whether it's management, scouting, coaching, in all levels. And the one thing that you would like to see is you would like to see the face of the franchise, the number one person, the number one honcho, and that would be the owner, Dan Snyder, to step forward like Mark Cuban did with the Dallas Cowboys when they had alleged incidences brought forward with the Dallas Mavericks. You know, Mark Cuban came straight out and said, you know what, the buck stops and starts with me. And he put forward a plan to try to remedy the situation. We have yet to see anything like that from Dan Snyder as far as this topic and many other topics that's come up with the Washington franchise. So, you know, like Adam Schefter said, the NFL could obviously step in, find the franchise a bunch of money, take away draft picks, suspend, you know, Dan Snyder. But really, if you have to wait on an outside source to levy these type of changes, that just speaks volumes to the type of organization that you run as a whole.
Damian Woody, Dominic Foxworth on First Take. This is First Take, your take. Jeff Dickerson for Jason Fitz, ESPN Radio, ESPN News. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. We want to hear from you throughout the show. What type of punishment should the NFL dish out to Dan Snyder and to the Washington team? You could tweet me at Dickerson ESPN. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I want to echo what Dominique and Damian said. It takes a lot of courage for anyone to step out and speak about this publicly. And so I applaud the 15 women that came forward. Only one, Emily Applegate, was able to speak on the record. I also want to mention that, you know, the other 14 women had signed a non-disclosure agreement with the club, according to the Washington Post, at the time they left. And the Post asked the Washington team to waive that non-disclosure clause so these women could speak on the record. And the Washington team said no. So that is in the Washington Post story. So one, though, Emily Applegate, a former Washington Redskins employee, did speak on the record to the Washington Post, and she described that team's culture of sexual harassment.
I had a, you know, week maybe or so that was great. And I was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted and what was explained to me, and this is going to be great. And then, you know, you get your first screaming at you for something that it's not your fault. And then somebody makes a comment to you about what you're wearing, and it just snowballs from there. And it really took most people no time to comment on my appearance.
And then when you work in sports, there are literally thousands of people lined up to take your job if you complain. That happens everywhere. In a lot of realms. I mean, working in sports in any capacity is a dream job for most. And a lot of people just don't feel comfortable or like they can come forward sometimes because they know how easily replaceable they are. So Jason Reed, my good friend and writer at The Undefeated, has covered the Washington team for a long time. He joined Dominique and Damian this morning on First Take and said these allegations are sad, but not at all surprising.
It's not at all surprising to me, which is really very sad. I mean, during my time as a beat reporter on the team, I had been tipped off to allegations about some of these same things that the Post reported on. And, you know, you do your reporting, you go to people, you try to find out what's going on. Ultimately, if people don't want to talk, and if you can't obtain the information to move forward, you don't. You go where the reporting takes you. Where the reporting took the Post reporters on this piece was to very troubling places. And, it's really just unacceptable that this is allowed, that these situations have been allowed to continue as long as they have continued. And it's very disappointing that the people in leadership did not do the things they needed to do to stop these things.
Obviously, hiring an outside firm is an important step to take, and I don't know any specifics about the law firm that they hired. I'm sure they have integrity, but I think the fact remains that the Washington team will be the ones who are paying them. So I wonder if you're hearing anything about the NFL hopefully changing their position and hiring another firm, a truly independent firm to do this investigation, because I'm not sure how easy it is to come to honest conclusions when your paycheck is coming from the same place that you're tasked to investigate.
Dom, great point. I mean, in this type of situation, what's most needed is complete transparency. What's most needed is a situation where no one can doubt what's going on. And this is not to cast aspersions on the law firm they've hired. Yeah. I don't know that what the background is in terms of, hey, what any connections there might be with anyone in the organization. But the reality of it is the NFL has to do its own independent investigation. Now, the league put out a statement saying that it would wait so after that investigation was complete to decide what it wanted to do in terms of potentially moving forward. But to me, in the climate we're in, Dom, in the era that we're in, with all this transformative change going on around the country, post-Me Too movement, I do not see how the NFL can let one investigation stand that the team is paying for.
Hey, Jason, I know in the Washington Post article, it talked about, you know, the protocols for, you know, how these different incidences were being reported, and it talked about a lack of an HR department with the Washington Redskins. Only one person was considered HR for the entire building. I mean, can you talk about that? Have you heard any specifics about how these alleged incidences are being reported within the building?
Well, Damian, listen, my man. When you cover this organization, you understand that things happen there that don't necessarily happen throughout the NFL. And this was something that we had heard about for years, about essentially this mom and pop mentality, not hiring to have departments fully staffed, not paying people, you know, at wages where you think, okay, you're going to retain top talent. So it's not at all surprising. When I read that in the story, I was like, okay, well, yeah, because that's the way they do things there. You can't really talk about having a good corporate culture when you have that many employees reporting to one HR person, and that person is simply overwhelmed. And then on top of it, my man, you have a situation where the people who have problems don't feel the climate exists in which they can truly voice what's going on. I mean, the only thing you're doing is continuing the cycle of a cycle that needs to be broken.
Yeah, we saw FedEx and some of the other partners apply enough pressure, and internal people apply enough pressure that they were forced to change their name. I'm wondering if you're hearing any of that similar pressure starting to mount for Daniel Snyder's future, given the fact that this is not just one isolated incident. Obviously, Daniel Snyder was not implicated in any of these accusations specifically, but he led this organization. And as we talked about in the first segment, he also was the head of this organization when they had that sexual harassment issue with the cheerleaders and the Costa Rica trip. And he was the head of this organization when 40 of his employees decided to leave a year ago because they cited culture issues. So I would imagine that some of the sponsors and internal people might be having these conversations. Is that something that you've heard?
Well, I've heard that a lot of conversations are still ongoing, obviously, around this type of story, Dom. But, you know, you pointed to something a minute ago. In the piece, it made it clear that these allegations did not touch Daniel Snyder. And we saw the situation happen with the Carolina Panthers and owner Jerry Richardson when the league launched its investigation. But Jerry Richardson was actually named in wrongdoing. Right. That's a key difference here. Now, having said that, Dom, the reality of it is, Washington NFL franchise fans would absolutely love to have new ownership. But will new ownership be put in place? I highly doubt that at this point.
That's a great question. Jason Reed, the undefeated on with Dominique and Damian this morning on First Take. This is First Take, your take. I'm Jeff Dickerson for Jason Fitz. It's ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're also on the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. I've covered the NFL for, over 15 years now for ESPN. So I can tell you flat out that there are good organizations and there are bad organizations. And it's not hard to look around the NFL and find the bad organizations. They're the ones that consistently find themselves in controversies, consistently don't win, consistently fire their coaches, fire their general managers, churn out the roster year after year after year. You cannot be successful in the National Football League with poor ownership. I'm sorry. It's impossible. Now, there are varying degrees of poor ownership. Not everyone is rock bottom. But just look around. Look at the NFL. Look at the teams that consistently win. Look at their owners. They're not perfect, but they run their operation the right way. They might have their indiscretions off the field, away from the game. But look at how they run their organizations from top to bottom. They win every year. It's a winning culture. Now look at the teams that struggle almost every year to make the playoffs, and there are several of them in football. What do they all have in common? I think it's very obvious. For the most part, it's weak ownership at the top. It's people not having control, not hiring the right people, not empowering the right people, allowing things to happen, cutting corners, sweeping stuff under the rug. I've seen it every day for 15 years. Now, I think the allegations against Washington are absolutely horrific. And you would hope in any workplace, this stuff would not happen. However, we would all be naive to think that's not happening a lot in America. But when you have an owner that, again, consistently makes news for the wrong reasons, fires head coaches left and right, has a terrible stadium, terrible fan experience, they always lose, it's an undisciplined culture, things like this happen. Now, I heard, again, Dominique Foxworth said on First Take this morning, and it was a good point, you know, Ron Rivera should not be looked to be the person to solve all these issues. That is correct. That is an ownership problem, first and foremost, and we'll talk about that a lot coming up throughout the show. Again, what type of punishment should the NFL dish out to Dan Snyder and the Washington team in general? Tweet me at Dickerson ESPN. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. I think Ron Rivera, though, is actually a really good hire for Washington. I was pleased for them, for their players, for their fan base when they hired Ron. I covered Ron in Chicago for many years when he was the Bears defensive coordinator. He was very successful in Carolina. Had to deal with some similar stuff with Jerry Richardson, but not in a way where, you know, I think he would have to be as up front and center as he is going to be now for Washington. But, you know, he was a successful head coach in Carolina. Ron was in a good system in Chicago, worked for Andy Reid in Philadelphia, was with the Chargers as an inside linebackers coach when they were very successful. I think Ron Rivera is a respectful person. I think he's a person that will set a better culture in the locker room on the football side of things. But clearly, this is a problem that touches every aspect of the Washington Football Club, from on the field to the front office to the business side to the marketing side. And again, to reiterate, the Washington Post did not find any direct accusations against Daniel Snyder. But when you are the owner of a team, the buck stops with you. You are responsible. There is no way you can be a successful owner of a business where there is rampant sexual harassment and this type of stuff, verbal abuse happening in your business, and you not be aware of it. Either you were aware of it and you chose to do nothing about it, or, which honestly is terrible, but even worse is, maybe you didn't know about it, but you should know about it. You're in charge. You're the owner. You have a responsibility to all your employees to make them feel safe when they go to work, to feel protected in their workplace. And by not knowing, well, that is an even bigger indictment, because you shouldn't be in charge of anything if stuff like this happens in your franchise and you claim not to know about it. So a ton more on this story coming up during the show. It's been quite the past few weeks in D.C. for Snyder. What are the chances he eventually sells the team? That's coming up. First Take, Your Takes, ESPN News, ESPN Radio. I'm Jeff Dickerson, in for Jason Fitz, presented by Progressive Insurance. And tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast, bringing you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. Of course, the top story in all sports right now has to do with the Washington NFL team after the Washington Post reported on Thursday that the 15 former employees of the franchise have come forward and accused the franchise of sexual harassment and verbal abuse by scouts and members of Daniel Snyder's, the owner, his inner circle. Les Carpenter covers Washington's football team for the Washington Post. He joins me now on the Shell Pennzoil performance line. Les, thank you so much for giving me some time. I know it's a busy day for you and everyone at your paper. What happens next, Les? I mean, it was very brave of those women to come forward and reveal what has been happening, allegedly happening with the franchise for many, many years. What's going to be the next step here as we move forward in this story cycle?
Well, you know, that's kind of a broad question given everything that's going on with this team right now. The team has gone ahead and hired a lawyer from a very big firm here. She actually represented several people in different situations like this in Washington to do a thorough review of the organization's kind of behavior, how it's oversaw these allegations, what was done, what wasn't done, and then we'll, you know, kind of give a report. And the team says that that'll be kind of something that it'll use going forward. The league has also said that it would like to see this report completed before it, you know, decides anything about the team. But I think everyone's going to be focused on this report now for the next few weeks in terms of this issue with the Redskins right now. And again, we probably can't even say that name anymore. There are so many other issues that are going on that this is just one of many fires.
How culpable do you think Dan Snyder should be in all of this, Les?
Well, when you're the owner of the team, especially one that wants to have such firm control of everything that goes on, obviously everything is going to go back to him. The biggest thing that continues to be said about this franchise, I've lived in Washington now for about 15 years. Off and on, I've been around that team, and now I've been around it every day for the last couple of years. Over the years, the thing that I always heard, regardless of who was coaching and who was in charge in terms of team president or whatever, always was, The culture is wrong. There's something wrong with the culture. Obviously, this story speaks to an issue of culture. There's a culture that allows this to exist. Ron Rivera, certainly on the football team, he's been able to attack that a little bit for the little they've been in the building. But ultimately, especially without a team president in place right now or an executive that kind of is between Dan Snyder and Rivera, Dan Snyder and the other people on the business operation, I think a lot goes back to the owner because he's such a large figure here.
Les Carpenter from the Washington Post joining me on First Take, Your Take. Jeff Dickerson for Jason Fitz. It's ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I covered Ron Rivera, Les, for a lot of years in Chicago, and I think he's a good person for the football culture. But I mean, ultimately, how much do you think he can do? I mean, how much of an impact can a football coach have, given that the owner is Dan Snyder, and like you said, he's someone that seems like wants to exert full control over the team at all times?
Yeah, it's a good question. Because I've looked into a little bit of his time in Carolina. I feel like the culture he brought to the Panthers as a head coach seeps through the rest of the organization, and that was good. But again, you had several other executives there that could also help with that. And ultimately, too, this is an organization where the owner wound up losing the team over a situation similar to this in Washington. Culture can only go so far with the football coach, and I the coach in any professional sports team. He's being asked to do a lot here because he has been involved in the name issue, which we haven't even talked about. He's been involved in the in this issue a little bit, I think, in response. There's probably other kind of crises going on right now that he's been kind of brought into, and he was here to coach. I mean, the other coaches that have that kind of power with their franchises, say a Bill Belichick or an Andy Reid, that were supposed to be the models for this, those guys all have buffers between himself and ownership, and themselves and the rest of the team. So it'll be interesting. They're going to have to figure that out kind of on the fly of how are they going to rebuild the culture in this franchise without the structure maybe necessarily to do so, at least as it's set right now.
Can you give us an idea, Les? I mean, just I have to imagine that the football fan in D.C. right now has to be just fed up. I mean, what's the mentality like right now for a fan of the team coming off everything that's happened? Where's that frustration level at?
You know, it's many-fold right now. You know, anyone is kind of familiar with what Washington used to be a few years back, you know, a decade back, two decades back. I mean, this team owned the town. I mean, you just knew Washington was a town for the Washington football team. That was it. Everything else was secondary. And a lot of people have moved to the city in the last 15 years. A lot of people come from other places and have started families here. And therefore, they've kind of adopted the Nationals. The Nationals came in, and then they've obviously risen to some success. The Capitals have risen to good success. People have adopted those teams. And the Washington football team has fallen. I mean, it's not the same market it was a few years back, and the fan base is not the same. So there's that, first of all. And secondly, yes, fans are very upset. I think you probably saw a lot of the internet speculation about this story, you know, just went to the, you know, beyond any kind of, you know, reasonable imagination of what the story would be about. I think solely because fans are so frustrated, they want a bombshell that might get Dan Snyder removed as owner. You know, I think that there is an enormous frustration with him in this town, and I'm sure he must understand that. That was part of what the Rivera hire, I think, was about. But I think there's an enormous frustration with Snyder and with the way that the franchise has been run. I almost worry to a point. I mean, that what these women have said and the courage that it took to come forward and say these things and make these allegations may not necessarily hit people as hard as it probably should, because they're kind of numb to what's been going on with this franchise.
Les Carpenter with us on First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I mean, do you think there's any likelihood, Les, that Snyder is eventually forced to sell the team?
I don't think over this. Because none of the allegations were about him directly. It was more about the culture and the way the place operated. Where I think to keep the eye on is the fact that 40% of his ownership, the three main minority owners, have all enlisted a firm to try to sell their shares of the team and are actively selling their shares of the team. That is, I think, the biggest threat that he faces right now. That's a lot of money that you have to figure out how you're going to find an investor and whatnot. And I think the sign that everyone should have that at least, you know, it's not 100% ironclad that he's going to own this team. I'm not saying he's not going to own this team. There's an excellent chance he still will. I'm just saying it's not 100% anymore. And the reason of that is because of this, the fact that his three main partners are now, you know, walking. So, you know, that's in the name and all these other things that are going on, that seems to be the bigger overriding issue here.
Les, thank you very much for your time. Please have a great weekend, okay?
All right, you too.
Les Carpenter from the Washington Post. He covers the Washington football team. Joining us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line, 888-SAY-ESPN is our phone number, 888-729-3776. What type of punishment should the league dish out to Daniel Snyder, the Washington football team? You can also tweet me throughout the show, at DickersonESPN. Let's try James calling from Dayton. James, what should happen to Dan Snyder and Washington because of this report? What do you think?
Well, you know, I think nothing will happen to Dan Snyder, as your guest just said, but I think there's going to be some organizational changes. But I think, Jeff, it goes back to your original point regarding, you know, organizations that are losing year after year, that are having issues like this. It really does come from the top. And, you know, I mentioned to your screener, it's like if you look at the Cincinnati Bengals in the market that I live in, Paul Brown went to Super Bowls, won AFC championships, won playoff games, won division titles. His son, Mike Brown, takes over and does all the things that you mentioned in your list, not empowering people, taking, you know, cutting corners short, not running the business the right way. Everything you described as you were saying it, I saw in the Cincinnati Bengals.
Appreciate it, James. It's not hard. Now the Bengals, to Mike Brown's credit a little bit, you know, when he finally found a coach in Marvin Lewis that he stuck with, They won a lot of games. They went to the playoffs. They were a perennial playoff team. Now, they couldn't get over the hump. They couldn't win playoff games. And certainly from the scouting standpoint and not staffing people and having enough bodies in the building and the resources, yes. And the whole thing about you got to honor your contract when NFL teams never honor contracts. He's made his mistakes. But yeah, again, it's not hard. Ownership is directly reflected on wins and losses. I'm sorry. I mean, you could still be a great owner and not win Super Bowls every year. But good owners know how to hire the right people that put the right type of culture in place where people feel good about coming to work every day. They feel good about doing their jobs. They do their jobs well. They perform. They succeed. They're rewarded. They feel like they're part of a team. The franchises that struggle are the ones that there is constant turnover, questionable people in charge, bad decisions, bad mistakes, controversy, indiscretions. You can't win in the NFL without good ownership. You might win 1 year out of five or six or seven. You might have that one good year pop up, but consistently, you have to have good ownership to win in the NFL. It is proven. So what type of punishment should the NFL dish out to Daniel Snyder and the Washington team? Plus, Dan Snyder finally released a statement. We'll react to what he said coming up next. First Take, Your Take. I'm Jeff Dickerson. In for Jason Fitz. It's ESPN Radio and ESPN News. First Take, Your Take. Jeff Dickerson in for Jason Fitz. It's ESPN Radio, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. All guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil, based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. You can tweet me throughout the show at Dickerson ESPN. Give us a call, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. What should the punishment be for the NFL in light of the Washington Post reporting that 15 former Washington NFL football team employees have accused the organization of sexual harassment, verbal abuse from 2006 to 2019? 888-SAY-ESPN. Again, you can tweet me at Dickerson ESPN. Daniel Snyder did release a statement. The behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. The story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with hiring Ron Rivera earlier this year. This was Damian Foxworth and Damian Woy this morning on First Take, giving their reaction to Daniel Snyder's statement.
Well, listen, they're just words for me right now. You know, in the press release, you hear him talk about beefing up HR. Well, where was this when, you know, you had the incident in 2018 with the cheerleaders? You would have thought after that bombshell dropped that, you know, HR would have been beefed up. There would have been a thorough investigation into the actions, you know, in Costa Rica and within the Washington Redskins organization. And then you have this incident drop. So for me, you know, yes, I'm glad to hear from Dan Snyder, because we've seen like we've heard from everyone else, but it's just empty words unless I see, you know, some substance behind the words that he's throwing out here in his press release.
Yeah, it's something. So it's a start. But I think, Damon, you brought up Mark Cuban and how he reacted a few when the things hit the Mavericks. And the important thing was Mark Cuban opened himself up to questions. And I know Mark Cuban is a more public figure than Dan Snyder and seeks the spotlight. So maybe that opportunity is a little different. But I think when you are the head of an organization like this, when you have a crisis like this uncovered, you have to open yourself up to questions. So a statement is a step, but I feel like what we need from him is him to stand in front of reporters or one reporter, create an opportunity where we can ask him the hard questions and not just send Ron Rivera out there to answer him and not just type up press release that says all the right things and try to move on. You need to answer for these questions. He didn't make himself available in the wake of the name change, which I still think that's important because there are questions he needs to answer for that also, but he needs to answer to some questions in this incident also. So maybe he needs to just carve out a full day and just sit there and go through the media circuit and be honest and forthright. I think that'll go a long way for him gaining some credibility with the fans of D.C. and the fans of the NFL.
Yeah, statements, just a bunch of words, quite frankly. First take your take, Jeff Dickerson, for Jason Fitz. It's ESPN News, ESPN Radio. I mean, what he should have done, Dan Snyder, is responded to the report, been interviewed by the Washington Post. And also, how about this? How about release the other 14 women, former employees? One spoke on the record. She was very brave in doing so. But the other 14 could not speak on the record or lend their name because they signed a non-disclosure agreement with the club when they left Washington. How about release those women from the non-disclosure so they could actually tell their story and say, you know, what really happened in their mind? You know, if you really want to set the culture, you really want to change things, how about having all the facts at your disposal? Maybe Dan Snyder needs to hear some more personal stories about his former employees and how they feel like they were treated by scouts, by his inner circle. Statements are just statements. They mean nothing. They accomplish very little. And does anyone out there really believe that Daniel Snyder, that his commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team is the way to go? He's had a long time as an owner to set a new culture and a standard for the team, and he has failed to do so repeatedly. So what, he's the one that's going to fix the problems? Does anyone have faith that Daniel Snyder is able and qualified to fix the problems that are plaguing the Washington football team? Unless you maybe work for him or are part of his family, I would find very few people out there that think that he is qualified or is the right person to lead this franchise in a new direction. I don't see it. And he's had a lot of time to prove himself, and he just hasn't done it over and over and over again. Coming up, what type of punishment should the NFL dish out to Snyder and the Washington team? We discuss all that straight ahead. Jason Fitz is off today. I'm Jeff Dickerson sitting in. It's First Take, Your Take.